You're listening to another edition of Duncan's Garage. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, with you for the next half hour or so. So glad to have you along. One of my responsibilities, and I've said this a couple times here on the radio, is that I get the privilege of talking to new and upcoming artists and getting their music on our air here on Dragon Digital Radio. And a couple weeks ago, I had a couple of submissions from an artist named Danae. And I'm listening to this. I'm putting in the old computer and iTunes, and I'm listening to songs entitled Direction, and this is, you know, Gold in the Dirt and some other songs. I'm thinking, there's a different sound here. There's a pop sound, but there really is a different hook. And I reached out to their management, and I'm very pleased to have Danae with me. And Danae joins me by phone. Welcome, Danae, to Duncan's Garage.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Let's talk about your musical background. Your publicist was so kind enough to give me information from an interview that you did, I guess, from Brash Magazine. Talk about your upbringing, if you will, your grandfather, and how you started a love of music.
Yeah, well, my grandpa was an upright bass player in military bands. I guess it was at the, you know, early beginning of 1920s, 1930s.
Okay.
And he started a piano business later after he had kind of left the military and was becoming an entrepreneurial business guy and made sure that all of his kids had pianos in their home. Hmm. And that all of his grandkids were taking lessons, and if they wanted to switch to guitar, he made sure to let us know that he would help us out with that. So music kind of runs in the bloodstream, and my brothers are both musicians, and my mom plays piano and sings. So it wasn't around the house in the way of, like, record players always spinning, you know, the Beatles or Bob Dylan or Frank Sinatra, but we just had real musicality, playing instruments, learning, taking lessons. That was a big part of my upbringing.
And where is this upbringing? What area of the country are we talking about today?
So I was born in Iowa.
Okay.
Midwest girl. And then we moved to Moscow, Russia in the early 90s.
Wow. Talk about that switch.
Lived over there.
That's a culture shock. You're going from Cornhuskers to Russian. Good grief.
Right? I was pretty young in the early 90s, and so to me, I basically said yes because my dad promised my brothers and I a Sega Genesis and gave us Sonic the Hedgehog, so we were definitely down.
That's
international
right.
Airplane flight, new Sega Genesis, like didn't have to sell it much harder than that.
Exactly.
But I loved my experience over there, just the chance to be around an entirely different culture,
mm-hmm.
experience what it is to, you know, play soccer, football with kids in your little neighborhood. Nobody speaks the same language, but you still connect because you're kids and you love candy, and
right.
sports bring people together. So it was an amazing experience, definitely left a significant impact, imprint on my heart and on
right.
my life.
Exactly. I'm looking here at your bio. Your family then, after you moved back to the U.S., you settled in Austin, and you started up taking guitar and piano lessons. But so you're obviously honing your musical talents there, but you went back to Moscow, I'm looking here, to study Russian and political science. Did you just miss the cold, or what was the story behind that?
Right. Well, I mean, it really did leave an impression on me when I was a little girl.
Hmm.
And my brothers, I have two brothers, they're 4 and 5 years older than me. So they had the high school experience of Russia. They were
okay.
out in the city doing things. And I think as I went through middle school and high school in the States, I really wanted the chance to experience it as a young adult and get on the metro alone and go down to, you know, the Kremlin or to Red Square with some friends. And so I did college in the States, but I did about 6 months before college over in Moscow.
Okay.
So I had a little bit of both worlds. I got a taste of it again, and kind of got my Russian back up to snuff so I could pass out of college competency.
Interesting. Very good. Talk. We have about a couple more minutes left in this segment. Talk about your background after college, and eventually I'm leading up to, you know, you're really getting more into music. Talk about your journey after college and what happened and sort of balancing life and music, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I always was interested in the world, so I had a political science job in D.C., was writing papers and working with a team and learning about the world, but I would always leave, like, right on the dot when my hours were up and go and walk around Alexandria, Virginia, and take my CDs to the local coffee shops and restaurants that had live music.
Sure.
And kind of hustle my wares, I guess you could say. And slowly just started playing consistently in the Northern Virginia area. I played over in Maryland a few times and down in D.C. some, but it was really kind of this organic process of I just kept on playing out maybe once or twice a month and then once a week, and eventually took a leave of absence from my job, and over the next few years kind of discerned that I needed to officially resign and really go all in with my music, or I didn't think I would be able to kind of get to the next level that I felt was inside of me, but I needed the time and the space to explore and create and learn and grow.
Interesting. Here's Direction, and you're getting it right here on Duncan's Garage and Dragon Digital Radio. Give it a listen.
Space, past stars and moons.
And we are back here on Duncan's Garage. You just heard a wonderful selection, and it is the title track of Danae's latest album. Danae joins me by phone. It's called Direction. Just absolutely fantastic. It's been getting some great reviews here on Dragon Digital Radio. Danae, let's go back a little bit. Take me back to 2010, and you auditioned for American Idol. Is that correct?
I sure did. Me and I think like 20,000 other people in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Tell me. Oh, okay. So this was Milwaukee. So did you fly up to Milwaukee, or you, because you mentioned about Austin, Texas and everything and going on your own. Tell me what auditioning for Idol was like, and all of the, you know, hanging out with, you know, thousands of your closest friends.
Yeah. Well, I was living in D.C. at the time, but there wasn't an audition on the East Coast, I guess, that I could make. And so I flew into Chicago, which is where my parents live. And my older brother was also pursuing a career in music at the time, and he's always been a singer.
Okay.
And so the four of us, my parents and my brother and I, we all went up to Milwaukee and got a hotel and got in line at 3 a.m.
Oh, my word.
To get our slot and dress up, you know, get your makeup and your hair done. And then you go through this kind of cattle call and find a seat inside their version of like a basketball stadium. I forget what the name of it is in Milwaukee.
Right.
But sat there for maybe like 6 hours and then finally got called down to the floor, sang for about 30 seconds and had the old, we'll pass on you phrase and left the building and we were done.
Yeah.
So just, it definitely was, I think, it showed me how many people have the same dream. And this was just one of, you know, probably 10 auditions. Over, you know, and then that TV show has happened, what, maybe like 10, 12 times, other singing shows. So
right.
It really showed me the scale of the number of people kind of pursuing to some degree this dream, and that it was going to be a lot of work and focus to really dive in and do it.
Talk about the journey, if you would, from that moment and what went through your mind thinking to yourself, you know, and you've mentioned this a little bit before, but, you know, leaving your job in D.C., becoming a full-time musician and putting out this CD. Talk about that process of what goes through your mind through that time.
Well, I think I'm a goal-focused person, so I think I always was trying to figure out, you know, where is all this headed? How is it going to go down? But over the past, I guess that was 2010, so the past 6 years, I've really learned that way leads on to way, like Robert Frost's poem says.
Wow.
And you just never know where the connections are going to come. And Direction was actually one of the first collaborators that I met when I started coming down to Nashville more consistently, was just a friend of a friend, somebody who actually had moved to Nashville from Northern Virginia as well, but we didn't know each other there. And his name is Saren Kruvilla, and we met just for coffee probably for the first time, maybe 2013.
Okay.
Before I had actually moved to Nashville, and just connected on kind of why we made music and the type of music that we wanted to make, and kind of our vision for what music does in hearts and in minds and in people, and but also had a passion for pop and for beats and for hooks. So it was a connection with him that kind of helped me see, okay, what does this look like to transition from my singer-songwriter music into a more pop environment? And I would have never been able to say at that audition for American Idol in 2010, oh, I'm going to meet a guy named Saren in Nashville. You know, you just can't look forward like that. But that was one of those pivot moments for me.
Was there a time in my interview with John Hall, he mentions that there was sort of, because obviously the pop scene is huge, there was a time where their manager said, you know, okay, you're going to be doing this song because it will sell hits. But John also, you know, there was basically two bands. Orleans were basically, you know, you had the pop radio side, but you also had the side of the band that really, you know, where they did what they, you know, originally were. With working with this team, Are they sort of, do you collaborate with them? Are they sort of helping you in your vision of what you as a singer-songwriter want to be? Or has there been, I'm not saying there's friction at all, and but I'm just saying, has it really been a true collaborative effort about what you want, you know, these your team and your producer and everything else? Has it been what you thought was going to be as far as getting your work out there?
Well, it's definitely been different than I thought it would be, which I think is just what life is,
right.
Always different.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this EP is each of the songs really is a collaboration with a different producer. Two of them are with a guy in L.A., a guy named Phil Danu, who I've known for a long time and helped me with some projects in the past and under my full name when I was more of a singer-songwriter, acoustic.
Right.
And the other two songs, Direction and Gold in the Dirt, are by separate producers. So there's not really a cohesive one producer who had the thumbprint. Saren is really was the creative director. He's also a photographer and does video. So we were very involved together in the launch of this EP.
Okay.
But musically speaking, it really had the tastes and the influences of different producers bringing in different styles, which I think cuts through on the project and is part of why I love this collection of songs, because I think you can listen to it from, you know, there's only four, but that 20 minutes gives you a lot of different styles, a lot of different textures. And in the day and age of singles and streaming and playlisting, I think that there's a power and a creativity that comes in letting each song be its own.
Exactly. Let's take a quick break. And again, you just heard Direction a few minutes ago. Let's take a quick break, and you're going to hear Gold in the Dirt right now. And again, this is Danae. She's my guest with me for the remainder of the half hour. When we come back, Danae, I want you to talk more in detail about Gold in the Dirt, because it really is, it's a different song, and I really haven't heard this kind of song, especially from an artist in the pop genre at all. So again, here's Gold in the Dirt, and you're getting it right here on Duncan's Garage here on Dragon Digital Radio.
Dust in the air. Oh.
And we're back here on Duncan's Garage. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, with you for the remainder of this half hour. You just heard a powerful song entitled Gold in the Dirt, and my guest with me by phone is Danae. Danae, talk about Gold in the Dirt and recording this and writing this. What's the song really all about?
It really started as a title, which has become one of my favorite ways to begin songs. I kind of get a concept, an idea of something that I want to communicate, and the last couple of years have been a challenge. Anybody who tells you that being an artist or starting a business or being an entrepreneur is easy has probably not done it very long.
Right.
And Gold in the Dirt really started as an anthem of what I needed to remind myself. And I had the first line kind of written in a journal, I'm done living my life just to get out of lies. And I took that into a co-writing session with a brand new producer that I had never worked with before, a lady named AG out in LA, and we just dove in, and it evolved really quickly. Direction, it took probably 7 or 8 writing sessions to get it exactly how we wanted, and Gold in the Dirt, we wrote in like 2 hours, start to finish, never went back to really change anything about the song. I ended up spending a lot of time working on the vocals and additional production flares and working with a mix engineer to kind of do some things with it sonically that I wanted to have done.
Right.
So it took a long time to finish, but the actual writing of the song itself was probably the quickest of any of the songs on the entire project. And I think in part because it's like a really clear point. And the message and, you know, what's being communicated is pretty straight up. You got to keep on digging.
That's right.
If you want to get to any sort of, you know, gold or that thing that you are driven towards. And I kind of love that gold and goal, like the words are sonically really similar.
That's true.
And I think that in some ways, you know, it's not about money when you're in the arts, like anybody who has that on their mind. Sam Smith reminds us, like, I don't got money on my mind. You know, it's about, like, these goals, these beautiful things you feel called to create and bring into the world. And so that's really what that song is about. And
right.
Every time I sing it, I got to kind of dig for those notes because it's at the top of my range. And I kind of physically feel what the song is saying each time I sing it, which I love the connection between that.
Right. Now, are you currently performing, or will you be performing soon songs from this CD? Or just talk about what your current status is as far as performing live audiences, etc.
Yeah, we've done a couple of shows with this body of work. One was on a TV station here in Nashville, and then one was like an EP release party here that benefited a international development project in Thailand.
Okay.
So we haven't taken it on the road per se, in part because it's an EP.
Right.
So still working on the body of music. And so I think next year, shooting for summer, fall, after we release a few more singles, probably another collection of songs, and there's really a record's worth of music that we can perform as a, you know, 45-minute, hour-long show.
Right.
That's kind of where it's pointed from a live performance touring perspective.
Okay.
Of course, you know, if One Republic or Coldplay calls and they have a 30-minute slot,
you're in there.
Happy to fill it.
That's right.
So we're ready to go if anybody, you know, is looking for a killer opener. But in the sense of headlining tours, since I am an independent artist and I don't have a record label or a booking agency right now, kind of working on finding great opening slots or places that can bring us in for, you know, maybe like a kickoff event or something like that.
Exactly.
So that's where we're at with touring this project.
What do you, and just sort of lead in my next question, where do you see yourself down the road, say 2, 3, 4 years, still touring, new projects, new ideas, just sort of a wish list of what you'd like to see happen maybe in the next few years?
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely an entrepreneur. I get ideas all the time, and I kind of keep track of those in Evernote. So to me, this body of music will just grow over time because there's an endless need for awesome pop that also has kind of this inspirational big idea element.
Right.
It's like my main passion project.
I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt, the one thing I wanted to talk with you about is your music's different. I would, in my head, call it pop with a purpose. And
I like that.
It's because that came to me a couple of weeks ago. I'm thinking about the interview with you that we're doing now. I'm thinking it's you and I mentioned this off air. It's not Spears. It's not Aguilera, but it's pop with a purpose. So you have my blessing on that phrase. You can promote that. There you go.
I like it. That's really what it's about. I don't just write songs to write songs. I've always been an intentional person in my life, and I think that there are so many stories, beautiful stories to tell, meaningful stories of challenge and tragedy, and I love talking with people, hearing their personal stories, and kind of working that into my music.
Exactly.
And that's really what I feel lights me up and gets me excited. So the hope 5-10 years from now is we just keep on building that, and it would be awesome to have a hit that goes mainstream. And
that's right.
You know, it's we're winning Grammys, but I'm a huge believer that you have to just keep creating, no matter what that space is. If you're a college student or you're, 10 years out of college and you're creating,
right.
It's just that activity of putting something that was not in the world into the world and augmenting the beauty and the love. I think that's something that we should all be trying to do consistently.
Exactly. Real quick, we've got a couple seconds. How can our listeners get a copy of your EP Direction today?
It is on iTunes. It's on Spotify. And on Spotify, you can follow me as an artist. There's just a really easy button that you click there in your Spotify account. And that's a great way to hear when the new singles come out, because that'll be happening in the next couple of months. And it helps me because we can stay in touch. And I know you're on the Danae train.
Excellent. The Danae train. I love that. Danae, thank you so much for being a part of Duncan's Garage. Greatly appreciate it, and all the best to you and your career. We'll definitely have you back on your next project. All right.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
You too. It's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you very much for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.